We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
The News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Prague Post, read by Charlotte Green.
The Museum of Communism is located on Wenceslas Square, above McDonald's and next to the casino.
Now, thanks to Eve Dallas from Glasgow for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Amanda Iannucci and Phil Jupitus. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Andy Hamilton. Amanda, have a listen to this. Amanda, what's the big bother? And be quick.
Jade Goody, or whatever her name is. Channel 4 says she's not being racist. Hmm. Which, if you listen to what she said, because I think what she actually said was, which is not racist.
Yeah, I sort of blame the BBC, really. I mean, 30 years ago, they came up with this idea of convening five socially disparate ignoramuses in a basement without any windows to have a go at one another. And this is where we still are. The trouble is... Because they didn't bring in voting, I'm still here and can't get up.
In India, it said on the news, they're burning effigies of the producers.
Yes.
And where did he get effigies of Peter Bazalgette in New Delhi all of a sudden?
Big Brother has always been the most fantastically cynical show, and from the very beginning, their main line of defense for the program is that somehow it mirrors Britain. Yeah. But that can't be true, because if Big Brother was an accurate mirror of British society, that would mean that 98% of us were pig ignorant and 87% of us were irritatingly camp.
I think they should actually vote out the producers, and then just people could do it on an ad hoc basis. I'd be perfectly happy to produce Big Brother for a couple of days. Dear 14, and the house is suddenly filled with wasps.
I once opened a library in Kent with Jade Goody, and...
What? What, you held it by the feet and smashed the door out?
Use her as a battering ram. That's why she has such a squashed face.
I can see it now. You go, hello, Jade, I'm Sandy. Here, ain't you little?
Back to your fjords, Toksvig. Hey. What do you eat chips with? Is it Vikings?
The curious thing about Peter Bazalgette, who's the producer, is his grandfather was Joseph Bazalgette, the man responsible for Victorian sewers in London. And I think, how pleasing, his whole family still providing a conduit for shit. Now, the question was about the Channel 4 reality show Celebrity Big Brother, which has attracted a record number of complaints and sparked demonstrations on the streets of India. Dear God, what's happened to the world? Following allegations of racism by Jade Goody and Daniel Lloyd towards contestant and Bollywood star Shilpa Shetty. 2 points to Amanda. Phil, which rising figure is expected to keep our interest at a peak?
When I agreed to come on this show, Sandy, I was given to understand there will be no maths. Well, it is, of course, the inflation figure, which no one can seem to settle on. Watching this inflation argument, it's a bit like watching Play Your Cards Right. I wish that they could have Bruce Forsyth talking about the inflation figure.
Is 3% higher or lower? Is it higher? Is it higher? You say 8%. 8%, is it higher or lower? Is it lower, higher?
And they've got this website now where you can go and you can calculate your individual inflation rate, your own special personal inflation rate. The Office of National Statistics has got a website where you put in what you spend all your money on. And it says what your rate of inflation is.
Who would want to join the National Office for Statistics? It must be people who thought accountancy was too exciting. I mean, it's just...
Gas has gone up something like 40% in the last year. But the wholesale price that the suppliers pay for it has gone down 50%. Now, there is a word for that. Oh, stealing. Okay. Stealing.
It's a say it's really hard for pensioners to heat homes. No, but you shouldn't be using pensioners to heat homes. It's kind of a twisted society if we come to.
I think that's why they have Evan Davis doing economics for the BBC, because he's so lively and brilliant, and inflation has gone up and it's this and it's that, and you're gripped, but he's talking crap. Yeah. I don't care about anything that he's saying, but what a lovely shirt.
It's inflation, which has hit an 11-year peak last month, running at 3%. How is this news? It is hardly Weimar Germany, is it? People are not pushing money in wheelbarrows through the street.
I've just thought of a joke, but I've no idea whether it's terrible or quite good. How many members of the National Office of Statistics does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
One. That's the straight answer. I don't know either.
Treasury spokesman blamed the increase on the country as a whole spending too much money on things it didn't really need, like flat screen tellies, iPods, war with Iraq. 2 points to Phil. Andy, which union is lacking in brotherly love this week? Andy, which union is lacking in brotherly love?
Thank you. Thank you.
You're making fun of my accent.
No, I'll tell you what's through me.
I'm trying to be racist.
Because there's been a lot of stuff about unlikely unions this week. The mad Frenchman in the 1950s who thought that France and England could unite.
But and that's an extra point for the supplementary to Andy.
Oh, right. Well, more of him later then. Yes. But this is about the Anglo-Scottish Union, and it was the anniversary of the Act of Union this week, and the Scots were so thrilled that they staged absolutely no events whatsoever. It was marked by a resounding silence. I think Scotland should be allowed to be independent. Let them see if they can make it on their own. That's what I say.
Make what?
Are you in favour, Amanda?
He's not Scottish.
Is that wonderful, the wonderful name Iannucci, though? Because whenever anybody talks about Brown and the rest, they talk about the Scottish Mafia. There's only one name I can ever think of.
Hello.
So there wasn't much of a celebration, was it?
I think they launched a firework in Dundee.
Just the one?
Yes.
There was a £2 coin minted in England, and obviously deep fried in Scotland.
If you were a Scot, why would you celebrate it? I mean, the Act of Union, fundamentally, it was an acknowledgement of an English takeover of Scotland, wasn't it? I mean...
Well, and it links in with what you were saying about...
About Guy Mollet,
because, in fact, the Treaty with Scotland was because of a hatred of the French. They were terrified that Scotland would be used by the Jacobites as to allow for an invasion.
By the Japanese?
No. The Jacobites... Oh, it's history. Don't worry about it. This week's 300th anniversary of Scotland's union with England, or if you're listening in Scotland, England's union with Scotland, has sparked renewed debate over the joint future of the union. The treaty consisted of 25 articles, most of them extremely indefinite and very guttural, and Tony Blair said it would be crazy for Scotland to leave the United Kingdom. And I mean, if he says it's crazy, well... The supplementary that I gave you was about the documents released by the National Archive. In 1956, France considered a union.
During the Suez crisis, What I want to know is, when Guy Mollet came up with this idea that France and England combine and the Queen becomes the Queen of France, did he ever mention it to any French people?
Did you have to wonder about the Queen's speech, whether she would have made any concessions? Just done it sort of louder and slower.
My husband, my lover, and I.
And she'd have ended it with,
oh. Alan, why does the little hand tell us that the apocalypse is now much nearer?
There's this clock somewhere.
Chicago.
And it's been going since mollusks began to think about having legs. It's the doomsday clock. But the thing about the doomsday clock, they thought it was about global warming, whatever. It is only about nuclear destruction. And they've moved it forward a minute, which has nothing to do with the melting ice cap. It's to do with nuclear proliferation. We may not even get to the end of the programme.
Right. It was never designed then for what they're now saying, which is that...
No. It's been converted into the likelihood of the planet being destroyed by weaponry.
Okay.
And if it stays as windy as this with global warming, it would probably...
Couldn't bomb anywhere, could you? No chance.
No, they could drop it on England and land on France.
What is the point of this nuclear clock? Because it's not like everyone can see it. It's just one incredibly paranoid bloke that keeps it running. It's like looking at it a little bit wobbly all the time. Still 4 minutes through.
Would it not help if they just took the battery out of the clock?
I think they should replace it with the countdown clock. You should have 30 seconds of jolly music, wouldn't you?
If you're a mate of his and you're drunk on New Year's Eve, you wouldn't, you know, not go round there when he's asleep and just move it 2 minutes forward.
The doomsday clock, the countdown to Armageddon that was begun in 1947, has moved forward to 5 minutes to midnight. It was devised by the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists 60 years ago. Well, everybody needs a hobby. The clock always moves forward a minute every time Blair goes on holiday. And John Prescott takes over. At the end of round one, the scores are Amando and Phil have got 4, but Alan and Andy are in the lead with 6. And we start round two with a headline from the Sussex Express.
Win tickets to see the world's first life-sized knitted garden.
It does say here in the event that doesn't go so well, say something else. We start round two with a cutting from Southwest Airlines' website.
Parachutes are allowed in checked or carry-on baggage, but may not be worn in flight.
Thanks to Brian White of Woking for spotting that. Amando, whose flush of success could see them forced to go straight?
This is a gambling question, isn't it?
It is, darling,
poker.
Yes.
Flush is about the only gambling card trick expression I know. There was a court case to determine whether poker was a game of skill or chance.
We'll give you a point for that, but it's not the answer that I'm looking for.
See the Chinese with the cameras in their backsides?
Yes.
There's a boat. Very elaborate. There's a group of Chinese people who wanted to take a casino for a ride, and they had a bloke in a van outside with all sorts of communication equipment, and they had cameras attached to their watches and up their sleeves and nostrils and things, so they could see what the dealer was stealing, and they made a lot of money.
They will give you a point about it for the gambling, because the BMA came out with a thing this week, didn't they?
Said it was a disease, it was an addiction, so it should be treated on the NHS, which is just as well, really, because if you're treated privately for gambling... At the end of it, they're going to say, congratulations, you're cured of gambling. That'll be £10,000, please.
Also, isn't going into an NHS hospital a form of gambling anyway?
Do they, like, wean you off it? You know, start you on poker, get you down to whist. Gently work you down to snap. Yeah.
How did these Chinese people get caught in the end? Why did it fail?
They caught a bloke putting a DVD up his arse.
They're not mugs in casinos. These blokes are winning too frequently and too easily and too much money.
Plus, every card had a long cable attached to it. That went out the back.
It's three high-tech casino cheats, Yao Yiv Lam, Fang Yuancheng, and Bit Chai Wong, who were sentenced this week after being found guilty of using hidden micro cameras and whisper microphones to cheat a casino at poker. As well as receiving prison sentences, the three have been ordered not to gamble for 3 years, thus preventing them from entering the national lottery, betting on the Grand National, or travelling by Virgin Train. Andy, who thinks the detectorists have proved their mettle?
This is a story about people with metal detectors.
There's nothing gets past you.
loads of people have been out with metal detectors and it's a bad thing or something. It's a thing.
No, it's a very good thing.
Is it?
Very good thing. They're finding stuff.
Yeah, but aren't they...
Finding sort of, most of Britain.
Aren't they emptying all the battlefields and running off with...
Yeah, but it's worked for Tony Robinson.
They're running off with sort of bits of history.
No, they're leaving them.
Are they?
Hmm.
Yeah, they're giving it in. They're being honest and honourable. In fact, I read a report that said they're outstanding in their field, and I thought, well, that's kind of a description of...
They're very easy to spot, though, these treasure trove hoarders. You know, going down a pub, wearing a crown, carrying a sceptre, paying for his round with doubloons.
I'd say as a woman, I'm not crazy about it. I mean, if you see a man in a Mac out in the open waving his probe at you,
and it's bleeping.
Yeah. You'd worry, wouldn't you?
I have no answer to this, but why in Time Team do they only have 3 days? It's never been explained to me why they can't just ask for more time.
Channel 4 has spent the rest of the budget on racism.
Yes.
Culture Minister David Lammy praised treasure-hunting metal detector users as unsung heroes of the UK's heritage as the British Museum announced a massive rise in the number of historic finds being reported by amateurs. And among the finds was a small Roman tool, which some archaeologists believe to be Silvio Berlusconi. 2 points to Andy. Alan, have a listen to this.
Great man. It's the first time Lolly Donegan's been on the beach. 40 years.
I was just
absolute genius.
Wishing the people at home, Alan, could see you doing air banjo, because it's rare.
Yes, this is about chewing gum.
Yes.
We're all immensely fat. In order to stop us being obese, a chewing gum is about to be come up with that you can chew and it reduces your appetite. This chewing gum mimics the hormones or whatever they are that tell you you're hungry. You chew this chewing gum and think you've just had a steak, so you don't want another one.
I think the brain will soon suss it out, given that the brain would have been instrumental in buying the chewing gum in the first place. I think it's not going to double bluff itself, is it?
It was one of those things, chewing gum, isn't it? Your mum always says, if you swallow it, it ties itself in a knot round your heart and you die.
Is your mother a biology teacher?
No.
I think people worry too much about the whole weight thing. I'm a bit chunky, I don't mind. I mean, it's a problem sometimes when I go and try on new clothes. I went to try on some new outfits the other day, and to be honest, the only thing that really fitted was the cubicle, but... Happy.
I can't sit here and listen to you talk about your weight trouble, Sandy Toxic, when I weigh as much as 4 of you.
And 2 extra points to Phil.
We're now awarding points on how heavy people are.
Scientists are developing an appetite-suppressing drug which mimics the hormone your body produces when you are full and which could be administered via chewing gum. Doctors hope that the gum will be readily available from chemists, the seats in a railway carriage, or by feeling under the table in a library. Quick supplementary question. Which came first, the medicinal chicken or the medicinal egg?
Oh, the egg. It's a wonderful thing. This is the one where they're going to inject human tissue into an egg.
Hmm.
Chicken will then lay it. Breakfast will never be the same. Slice the top off and you're eating your uncle. Sandy, you'll never be able to pop a soldier into your mouth again.
Such an unlikely idea. Scientists at the Roslin Institute in Edinburgh have created a breed of genetically modified hens that can produce cancer-fighting medicines in their eggs. And the development leads to the prospect that life-saving drugs could be administered by omelette, scotch egg, scotch custard pie to the face. It's a ridiculous idea, eggs as medicine, isn't it? I mean, imagine trying to get them out of a blister pack. It's just stupid. At the end of round 2, Amanda and Phil have got 9 points, but Andy and Alan are still in lead with 13. Before we start round 3, here is a correction from The Guardian.
A misunderstanding caused Kailash Puri, one of the guest editors on the G2 Over 70s special, to answer one of the age-old questions wrongly. Asked whether she'd had a same-sex experience, the answer should have been no.
And our thanks to Chris Rogers of Middlesex who sent that in. Armando, who wants to put the fun into funerals?
Well, it said the Church of England in the Times, but I'm sure it was just our vicar who suggested that since lots of people who die have their funerals in the manner of their hobby, like if they've spent a lifetime, you know, with a motorbike or something like that, they prefer to be buried with their coffin. It said on a bike, but I don't quite know how that works.
Careful balancing.
It's like the, you know, the Make-A-Wish charity, which normally people of limited life are allowed. Well, this happens after you're dead.
See, I just want a sort of simple, traditional funeral. I just want, you know, a few members of the family in horned helmets and... me floating out to sea in a burning log boat.
I think the most you can manage to talk to me is a smouldering pedalo gently being pushed out.
I would like my ashes posted to Reader's Digest. With a letter saying, congratulations.
Two points to Amanda. The Church of England has had its funerals criticised for being too serious. A bouncy castle on the grave. And so the Christian Resources exhibition is to feature a range of modern funeral options, including using motorcycles as hearses or shooting fireworks into the sky. Phil, if you are what you eat, who is a diamond geezer?
There was this fella in Dorset, and he loved his fiancée, and he wanted to show his love by getting her the perfect engagement ring. However, he had no money. So he went to the jewellers and made the jeweller get out and show him a £1,750 platinum diamond solitaire engagement ring. He's looking at it. He went, can I have a look at some of those others? And while the bloke turned round, he ate it. And, of course, the assizes were called to investigate this young man. You know, and they gave him the body search, and they were nearly ready to let him go away. And in the end, one of them had one of those wand metal detector things and waved it over his stomach, and it went, and they opened him up, and they found King Arthur's sword.
They show the x-ray, and on the x-ray is a perfect photograph of a ring, and the bloke went, it's a bit of foil I swallowed that miraculously shaped itself into a perfect circle with a diamond in it.
Well, that's my own ring. It's intestinal bling.
Yep, our love-struck Simon Hooper from Dorset stole a diamond engagement ring from a jeweller by swallowing it, but was caught out when police put him in jail and waited 3 days for nature to take its course. Police confirmed that after his short stay in prison, Hooper passed a single stool, which he had earlier stolen from MFI. 2 points to Phil. Andy, who's been quizzed and handbagged this week?
This is one of these late-night quizzes on, I think it was ITV or ITV2.
It's called ITV Play.
They got their wrists slapped because their questions were deemed to be a bit too obscure. They asked people to ring in with things that you might find in a woman's handbag, and among the answers were raw plugs and balaclavas. So I can only think that on the production team who's compiling those questions and answers, they're employing a terrorist who likes to do a spot of DIY.
Very strange things go on after normal people go to bed, and I think Quizmania is one of them. I think it's for people who can't work out how you get to sleep. So I'll do a quiz instead. It's very tricky thinking that... both eyes you have to shut. No, I watch television instead. Oh, they're asking me to spell hat. That's very tricky because I haven't got all the letters down here.
But the key thing,
cat will do. They'll give me a second prize for cat.
But they are.
God, I hate it.
Anyway, the question related to the quiz channel called ITV Play, the broadcast regulator Ofcom has found them guilty of a serious breach of rules when their answers to the question what items might be found in a woman's handbag were revealed to include raw plugs and a balaclava. Other possible correct answers included false teeth, contact lenses, a driving license, plane tickets, dog biscuits. Wait a minute, that's my handbag. 2 points to Andy. Alan, whose new ladder ruling is a step too far?
This is health and safety. Firemen are not allowed to go up ladders with 3 steps on them. Those folding ladders, because they might fall off. If you have a very low fire, you've got to put it out yourself, I suppose, because they're not allowed to go up those folding step ladders because they could catch their fingers in it and damage their hose, which is dangling inadvertently.
This political correctness gone mad, isn't it? I mean, they'll be stopping the police pushing people down the stairs next.
But what sort of fire would you need a step ladder
it's at home.
No, it's for fitting smoke alarms. It's for fitting smoke alarms. They now have to fit smoke alarms on platforms, which is very 70s, isn't it? OK, will be fireproof cheesecloth before you know it.
I have to say, we inadvertently called out the fire brigade just last weekend. It was deeply embarrassing because the smoke alarm went off in the kitchen and we couldn't remember our number. And they were there fantastically quickly. Five burly firemen. You know.
You quite often get home and find the missus with a lighter. Down the station going, it's Mrs. Hamilton again. He must be at the news quiz. Every time you get home from the news quiz, there's a surreptitious fire engine pulling away from the house.
Firefighters on Humberside have been told by their employers that it is dangerous for them to go up ladders in future. Fire officers must use the Stanner stairlift. Or a trampoline. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Armando.
This comes from a thing called Monitoring Monthly. It says, a Merseyside man suffering from erectile dysfunction went to Turkey to be fitted with an implant, which when triggered by a small radio transmitter, helps to overcome the problem. Unfortunately, on his return home, he found it was on the same frequency as his neighbour's remote garage door opener.
Phil.
I've left mine downstairs, but I remember the gist of it. It was a cutting about a blind gentleman who was with his dog and was visiting a friend in a village in Kent. And he came out from the train station and walked up to a woman and asked her the direction to a particular street. And she bent down and went to the dog, you go down the road.
Andy.
It's from the Shropshire Star. And it's a review of a book by Priscilla Masters. And it says, her style is unique. It's intelligent female writing. Ben, I agree with it. I'm just reading it out. All right.
Alan.
Well, mine's hand is from the Leicester Mercury. And it says, when Inspector John Harding and Sergeant Ivan Towers arrived, they found Mr. Beecham hanging by his fingertips more than 150 feet above the ground. They offered him cigarettes and coffee, but he kept refusing.
Thank you. Now let's take a look at the final score. Armando and Phil have got 13, but this week's winners are Alan and Andy with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Independent on Sunday, sent in by the Reverend Lynn Evans.
Welsh tortoise recaptured 1.8 miles from home after 8 months on the run.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Armando Iannucci, Phil Jupitus, Andy Hamilton and Alan Corrin. In the chair was Sandy Toxford, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roger Crooks and George Coles. And the producers were Simon Nichols and Katie Tyrrell.